What is the opposite of rest?
Work.
Work? All right, any other answers? Work is the answer. Any other answers? What's the opposite of rest, Isabella? Anybody else? Unrest, somebody said. Exhaustion. Busyness. Chaos. All right. What's the opposite of rest? Some of you are getting it. So I think a lot of times that, you know, the first answer I heard, which is the natural answer usually, is what's the opposite of rest? We think work. But I don't think work really, think about it, work isn't the opposite of rest. Restlessness or unrest, somebody said, that's really the opposite of rest, right? Because when we rest as God intended for us to rest, we're finding our satisfaction and our contentment in the Lord. So you can even do that technically while you're working, right? When we rest as God intended, our contentment is in Him. It's in Him alone. So not being restless doesn't mean that we need to rest and take a break from work necessarily all the time, but rather we need to find our rest in the Lord. There's always going to be work to be done. And we know that. We know there's always work to be done. Imagine for a moment, just imagine if it's your bedtime, you're ready to go to sleep, and your child has to be rushed to the hospital in an ambulance. Would you say to your child, you know what, it's my bedtime, I hope you make it. If you do, I'll see you in the morning. No, of course not. You're going to sacrifice rest. No, I don't want to hear any of that right now. You're going to sacrifice rest. I don't care what you say, Serenity, your parents will sacrifice sleep for you. You're going to sacrifice rest and sleep because, of course, you want to make sure that your child is okay. And so you're going to make a sacrifice there. You want to do everything you can for your child. And yet, when you go to bed at night, the reality is we know there are still things to do. No one, who in here has ever went to bed thinking, you know, I have no idea that if there's going to be anything for me to do tomorrow? No, of course not. We know when we go to bed at night, there's still things to do. We know that there are things that we need. We know that not everything is done. In fact, just using that example of the child, we know that there's children all over the world that are on their way to the hospital because something happened. And yet, we go to sleep. We rest. We are not Lord. We can't get everything done. We can't oversee everything. There's only one who is Lord, and there is only one who never sleeps. There is only one who never needs to sleep. There's only one who never needs rest. And yet, this is what he said in Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8, if you follow along with me, it says, "Remember to dedicate the Sabbath day. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your male or your female slave, your livestock, or the foreigner who is within your gates." Notice for a second before we keep reading, notice that, so remember, God is speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai as he gives this. He doesn't mention Moses' wife, and I believe the NET Bible gets this exactly right when the NET Bible notes explain this. The wife is omitted in this list, not that she was considered unimportant, nor that she was excluded from the rest, but rather in reflecting her high status, she was not man's servant, not lesser than man, but included with the man as an equal before God. And so that would obviously be assumed just based on creation order, which we see is part of what we see here. So let's continue reading then. In verse 11, it says, "For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them, in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy." Father, we pray for wisdom this morning to understand the truth of your word, to see what this means, what you intended for us to get from this and to understand from this and to how to apply it to our lives. So give us the wisdom this morning. Give us the desire, Father, to walk with you according to your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as we continue to go through the Ten Commandments, I want you to consider this morning as we consider, we're on number 4, right? So we've talked about you have to love the Lord your God. And don't have other gods, don't have idols, don't misuse God's name like we saw last week. And now we're on the 4th one. So let's think about the application of these commandments to our lives as we go through the Ten Commandments. Let's consider that they're good for us. Let's consider how Jesus fulfilled them perfectly and taught us how to live them out today. In fact, next week, you're not going to want to miss Pastor Scott's message next week, because before we get from the first four, which are all about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then we get to the next six that are about loving your neighbor as yourself, Scott's going to bridge this well in helping us to see out of Galatians that Jesus is the answer to all of this, right? He's the not only the one who fulfilled it, but he's the reason we're able to do anything that he's called us to do. And so make sure you're here next week for that. But this morning, we're going to look at the word and calling to rest weekly. Remember to dedicate the Sabbath day. What's this all about when it says that? Remember to dedicate the Sabbath day. What does that mean for us now? Do we still observe the Sabbath the way that the Jews under the Old Covenant observed the Sabbath? Why or why not? This can be confusing, especially as this is part of the 10 words or the 10 commandments. And yet, as is especially clear in the New Testament, this was a ceremonial and a covenantal law for the nation of Israel that was fulfilled in Christ in such a way that it's different for us now than it was for the Jews of Israel. While the standard for rest of the commandments, especially as we get into the next six, we see the standard for those is raised, as Jesus explained in the New Testament. The bar is raised. This one, though, was taught very differently by Jesus and the New Testament authors. And still, there are some very important applications for us to get from this morning to understand this rightly. And so my purpose in the message today is that you will embrace and prioritize weekly rest. This word from God is good for us. This was and is God's design for us. This is a blessing for us. And so I want you to consider two modern day applications to this fourth commandment. Sabbath means seventh day, right? Which is Saturday. But here we are on Sunday morning, as has been the practice of the church since the first century. They started meeting for worship on the first of the week because that's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And so we are no longer under the old covenant. Jesus fulfilled the old covenant, which you and I couldn't do. He fulfilled it, and that included the special designation of the Sabbath day as the day of corporate worship and rest. Still, there's some important teaching and application as we think through this word from the Lord. So the first thing I want you to notice, just to think through this, is get some rest. Right? Scott already told you, go home this afternoon and take a nap. That's not what this sermon's about. And please don't do it now. Wait till we're finished. But when I say get some rest, this doesn't mean don't work. Right? The Bible is full of instruction that we must work hard, including right here when it says, even in verse 9, labor 6 days and do all your work. So this isn't a message to say stop working. No, work hard. The Bible's very clear. We need to work hard. Do everything as unto the Lord, Colossians chapter 3. Work hard and get your work done, but the work is for 6 days so you can rest for one. I don't know, what was it, like 100 years ago when America adopted the five-day work week? I mean, that wasn't the norm. We work 6 days and we take a break for one. So likewise, I know some of you are blessed. You only have a job where you have to work 5 days, and so you get to get some other work done on the sixth day. But just as we work for 6 days and rest for one, you work hard during the day so that you can rest at night, right? The same thing is true. There's a certain amount of things you need to get done or you want to get done before you put your head on the pillow at night. But get some rest. Get some rest. God himself modeled this for us. Think about it. He even rested for a day after creation. Why did he do that? He doesn't need to rest. And yet he did to set an example for us and to call us to look to him as being sovereign over all things. He made the week based on a day off. Think about that. Rest and work are part of creation order. This is before the commandments existed, before the law was necessary, when everything was perfect. He created the world and he rested. Before sin entered the picture, this was God's perfect design. 6 days of work, a day of rest. Right? Think about the fact, too, that every calendar still has 7 days per week. Anybody here ever seen a six-day calendar? I haven't. I mean, no matter what you believe or what you used to believe, you follow a seven-day calendar. For the people of Israel under the Old Covenant, the seventh day, the Sabbath, was to be set apart for corporate worship and rest. It's interesting then that as the commandment was given here in Exodus 20, It's related to God's model in creation. So God gives the command, and then he models. He says, the world was created in 6 days, and on the seventh day, God rested. And when it was given in Deuteronomy 5, because the same commandment is given again in Deuteronomy 5, it was given in relation to God's redemption. So the Sabbath day for the nation of Israel was for the people of God to remember that God, their creator, and to remember and celebrate God, their redeemer. It's certainly similar to what we do as followers of Jesus when we gather on Sunday. Think about it. But we're called not just on Sunday to do this. We're called to do this every day as followers of Jesus, living lives of worship. Celebrate our creator. Celebrate our redeemer. And while Jesus fulfilled that old covenant in such a way that we're no longer bound by the old covenant, weekly rest is still wise. It's still what we need. There's definitely controversy on how we're called to follow this commandment. There's lots of debate about this. Okay, the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. What's that mean? But it seems clear as we go throughout the scriptures, we are to rest for the sake of relying on and worshiping the Lord. Ultimately, though, what does this point to? This points to a final resting day. Hebrews 4 gets this very clear. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people, for the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his. That's coming, right? A Sabbath rest remains for God's people because it's in Christ. I love the way Pastor Alistair Begg explained this. This is what he said when he was talking about the fourth commandment and then the new covenant application. He says, the Jewish Sabbath came at the end of 6 days and spoke of a rest to come. The Christian Sunday comes at the beginning of the week, symbolizing the rest that Jesus has won for those who trust in him. Do you have a weekly day of rest? I just want to challenge you to think about that for a second. You need a day of rest and a day of worship. Such a day is rooted in creation. It's rooted in redemption. Some may argue over the day, but I think the principle is there. We don't need to argue over the principle of our need to set aside time for rest and additional time to focus on our relationship with God in a way that maybe we're not doing the other 6 days as much or as intentionally. This is God's gift to us, right? And we'll see this more in a few minutes, but it benefits us to keep it. It helps us to anticipate the final rest to come, as we saw in Hebrews chapter 4. You know, as a pastor who tends to work longer days on Sundays than other days, and I'm not talking about this, like as we gather together corporately, I don't consider this work. This is a gift. I love this, right? But I'm talking about in the preparation before, some of the follow-up after, just different things that go on Sundays. I don't tend to get a lot of rest on Sundays. So what I used to try to do is I would try to take off Friday or Saturday thinking, okay, that's going to be the day that I'm going to rest. But I found for me that was nearly impossible because I'm getting things finished up for Sunday. I'm finishing my sermon. Things come up at the end of the week with needs in the community or with the congregation. And so that was always a struggle for me. But then several years ago, when North Callaway decided to go to a 4-day school week, taking Mondays off, I thought, you know what? I'm going to switch my day off to Monday because it never worked on Friday or Saturday. I'm going to switch it to Monday. And I'm telling you guys, this has changed my life. This has been amazing. Because I have more time with family. Nobody calls me on Monday from here because you guys are sick of hearing me on Sunday. And so nobody really bothers me. It's just it's a day of rest from what I'm normally doing, the extra work that I'm normally doing. I can spend more time in God's Word. I can just quiet time and time with my family that I don't get any other day to that extent. But for most Christians who work a typical job, Sundays make sense if you think about this. So Sundays, maybe they're not very restful for me, but if you're able to get a break from what you do the rest of the week, what you would call work, your normal job, and you're able to get a break from that, and you're able to focus more time on your relationship with God and worship with the body of Christ and in seeking to intentionally grow your relationship with the Lord, well, praise God. Sundays could work for you. You could say, okay, this can be a true day of rest for me. But again, I just want to challenge you, get some rest. Why though? Think about this. get some rest because Jesus is Lord. And this is the point. This is what it all boils down to. Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of our lives. He's the Lord of all. Get some rest because Jesus is Lord. That's why you're able to rest. It points to him, and he's the reason that you're able to take a break. He's the reason you're able to sleep at night. Think about the Ten Commandments and why this one is different from the rest. You see, when Jesus addressed the Sabbath day in the New Testament, it was usually in response to the legalistic Pharisees misunderstanding the gift of the Sabbath and also using their legalism to try to add to the Sabbath law. And that was usually when Jesus addressed it. So one of the examples, of course, would be in Mark chapter 2, when Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So Jesus clarifies here both the purpose of the Sabbath, that it's a gift, and also his authority. He is Lord. I mean, think about it. Why is he? He was there when it was written. He was there before the Sabbath was established. He's been there since the beginning. He's always been, and so he's Lord of the Sabbath. So therefore, Colossians chapter 2, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink or in the matter of a festival. So think about, so for Jewish people under the Old Covenant, there were certain things they couldn't eat. Paul, you know, when Paul addressed the Sabbath in the New Testament, he was typically doing it because of Sabbatarians, people that were legalistic about the Sabbath day, elevating it above what the Bible clearly teaches. And so Paul says, don't let people bother you about food or drink. That's Old Covenant stuff. Don't let people bother you about new moons or festivals. That's gone. Or what did he say? Or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of what was to come. The substance is the Messiah. In other words, Jesus is the point. When you put your faith in Jesus, think about this. What does he do? He gives you his Holy Spirit, which means that he's with you always as he promised. And that means that our lives are to be lives of worship. The Old Covenant Jews had to go to the temple and they had to go through a priest so that they could go to God. We don't have to do that. We can worship God every day. We go through our high priest, Jesus Christ our Lord, and we worship God in all ways. And so that means our lives are to be lives of worship. That's why every day is holy unto the Lord, because Jesus is always with us. I can understand, so just let's kind of put this together. I can understand why we're tempted to equate the Sabbath command that we see in Exodus 20 with our Sundays, which we would call the Lord's Day, right? So that's part of our statement of faith. We say the Sunday is the Lord's Day. Not to be confused with so often the Lord's Day in the New Testament is talking about the day when Jesus returns, the day of judgment. But we also say the Lord's Day, the day that we gather. So we see that from like Paul in 1 Corinthians 16. So we gather on the Lord's Day. And so some people want to equate and they'll say, well, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy and the Lord's Day, it means the same thing. It doesn't mean the same thing. Right, so there's some overlap. So let's understand this. There's some overlap in our calling and our need to set aside time for corporate worship. That's important, right? There's a need for us to set aside time for rest, for the intentional setting aside of time to focus more on the Lord. And I don't mean that you don't think about the Lord when you're at work, but what I mean is when most of you in your jobs, you can't just sit down and dive into the Bible and read it, right? But on your day off, you've got more time to do that. Hopefully you're doing it every day. As you start your day, you're doing it every day. But on your day off, maybe you can spend some more time and more time intentional prayer. But so there's this need for us to set aside time for corporate worship and for rest and for intentionally more focused time on our relationship with God. The New Testament is very clear on our need for this and the expectation of this for followers of Jesus. It's why we gather on Sundays. But still, no longer is a single day more holy than another day, because all of this points us to Jesus, the ultimate rest that we can and that we should have in him. Because remember, we don't have to go to a temple to get to Jesus. He is the temple, right? Our bodies are the temple as he lives inside of us through his Holy Spirit, we don't have to go somewhere to get a relationship with God. We have a relationship with God in and through Christ. So we're not legalistic about a certain day of the week. Rather, what we do is we prioritize obedience to the Word of God by gathering together for corporate worship and fellowship. That is obedience. So if we don't gather for corporate worship and fellowship, that's disobedience to the Word of God. The Bible's very clear on that. So yes, we do that. We prioritize that. But we also recognize that worship and our rest, worship and rest, must pour over into every single day of our lives, which is why the bar is raised for the Ten Commandments when we get to the New Testament. I mean, think about it. You could make the case, well, so all of the other Ten Commandments, the bar is raised, but you're saying for the Sabbath, the bar is lowered. And I'm saying, no, actually, I think the bar is raised for the Sabbath. You know why? Because Jesus is our Sabbath rest. And so we don't just do it one day a week. Every day is our Sabbath rest. Every day what's the opposite of rest? It's restlessness. And so every day we're finding our rest in Jesus. Every day we're coming to worship Jesus. Every day we set aside time to look to Jesus. Every day we recognize, I need Jesus. He is my Sabbath rest. And I can look forward to the rest that is to come. Right? Get some rest because Jesus is Lord. He's the master of all. Find your rest in him and look forward to the rest that is to come in him. Remember, I said my purpose today is that you will embrace and prioritize weekly rest. What do you need to change with your schedule and your priorities in order to make this happen? Don't come up with excuses in your mind and say, Nick doesn't understand how busy my life is. I can't take a day to rest, to just spend more time in the Bible and with my family, and I don't have time for that. I've got too much work to do. Don't come up with excuses. Consider the blessings and the wisdom of God's word and ask for his help in coming up with solutions to how can you be more intentional to set aside time to rest. Embrace and prioritize weekly rest. Most importantly, though, make sure that you're resting in the one and only perfect Savior of the world, Jesus Christ our Lord, finding your rest in him. Remember, in the beginning, God created everything perfectly. There was not only was there perfectly designed rest in him, but also a perfect relationship with him. But we know the fall of humanity. We know just like Adam and Eve rebelled by disobeying the one command they were given, so you and I sin when we disobey any of God's commands. God's law is perfect. And it was given after the fall. God's law was given. Why? For our good, and to help us see our need for a Savior. The law says you can't be perfect. These are all the ways you fail, but someone's coming to do it perfectly. You see, we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God, and sin condemns us. Our sin condemns us. Hell is what we all deserve. Just like in your family groups this morning, for those who are in the adult groups, you have the key concept, right? And the key concept said that sin corrupts and must be judged. But God saves those who fear and obey him. But here's the problem. None of us can obey him perfectly. And so we don't deserve salvation. Perfect obedience is required. And God is right to punish sin. But he's right to punish sin. Praise God that he sent Jesus to rescue us. The Lord of the Sabbath. The Lord of all. His one and only perfect Son. Jesus came to rescue us from sin and death when he died on the cross for our sins, after he lived a perfect life and fulfilled the law as God demanded. He took our deserved punishment on himself. He rose from the dead on the third day. He won the victory over sin and death forever. Now, if you turn from your sin, the Bible calls that repentance. If you turn from your sin and you believe in Jesus alone to save you, the Bible calls that faith, right? Putting your faith in Jesus, then Jesus will make you right with God. And him alone, is there rest now? And is there that rest to come that we can look forward to? The opposite of unrest, the opposite of restlessness, the opposite of heartache and brokenness and eternal condemnation. It's in Christ. So everyone who trusts in Jesus has the promise of eternal rest with him, perfect restoration with God and with all who know him. He's coming again. He's coming to make all things new, right? And those who know and follow him will have eternal life, but you must surrender your all to Jesus before it's too late. Don't try to work your way to God. Just like we can't work our way and never sleep, right? That we can just say, well, I've got too much work. I'm just not going to sleep ever. No one's ever been able to do that. You can do it for a day or two, maybe even three, but you can't do it forever. More importantly, you cannot work your way to God. You may be able to look like a good person. You may be able to put on a show for a while, but eventually the truth comes out. You need Jesus. You need him for rest, and you need him for salvation. Who are you sharing this good news with in your everyday life? Who are you discipling? Who's discipling you? Who's holding you accountable to make sure that you are getting your rest in Christ? Maybe there's some who need accountability to say, you know what, you need to work more. There's a whole other sermon. But I'd say most of you, most of the people that I know around here, if there's a struggle, it's not that you don't work hard enough, that you work too much. And I don't mean you work too much as that you shouldn't work, but I mean that you work and not looking to the Lord and finding your rest in him, worrying about not getting everything done instead of finding your rest in the one who came for you, the one who died for you, the one who made it possible for you to not only be saved from your sins, but to walk in obedience to the word of God. Let's find our rest in Jesus. Let's help others to find their rest in Jesus. He alone is worthy. He alone delivers. He alone is our Sabbath rest. Father God, please help us to trust in Jesus, to save us from our sins, to make us right with you, to be our Sabbath rest. Father, I pray for those who are here today who haven't yet turned from their sins and trusted in you to save them. Please give them that desire today to call on your name, to be in a right relationship with you. Father, help all of us to grow in the desire to work hard, to work with all of our heart, and in whatever we do, to do everything as unto the Lord, to do everything for you, and yet also recognizing that we put our heads on the pillows at night because we can't do it all. And the same is true spiritually. We put our heads on those spiritual pillows, recognizing that we fall short. We're not capable of fulfilling your law. So we're thankful for the one who did it perfectly for us. Not only to make us right with you, but to equip us and enable us by the power of your Holy Spirit to live the life you've called us to live, to have that Sabbath rest in our Savior, recognizing that, yes, we will prioritize weekly corporate worship with our church family. We will prioritize more intentional focus on you and growing our relationship with you, but then also seeing that that spills over into every day of our lives, knowing that we want to meditate on your word day and night, that one day a week isn't enough. We need every day to be growing in our walks with you. So help us, Father, to prioritize that in such a way that we would grow ourselves deeper in our relationships with you, but also together and for the sake of those around us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.